In this passage, though, we're in John chapter 6, verses 52 through 71. Jesus makes just some flat-out weird claims. And so if we take this passage at face value, it would seem as if Jesus supports cannibalism. And so let's take a look at this clip to see what I mean. As you can see, he supports cannibalism.
Jesus told his disciples, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you are dead. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink."
That's the end of the clip. So, let's dive into this passage and figure out what the heck Jesus is talking about. First, though, we need a background to get the context of the story. And so we're starting back in John chapter 6, verse 41, where Jesus identifies himself as the bread from heaven. And so if anyone doesn't know what that reference is, it's actually a reference back to Exodus 16, where God provided bread from heaven, also called manna, to the Israelites in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. So when Jesus says that he's the bread from heaven, he's talking to people who have Exodus memorized, and they should know what manna means. And so if we move forward, verses 47 through 51, Jesus takes it a step further. And so he's just said that he's the bread from heaven, but now he's saying that the manna that God provided to the Israelites was just a glimpse of something bigger that Jesus offers. So here's what Jesus says, and I'm going to have you guys read in a few minutes. He says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you that we could all meet here today. And I pray that you'll speak through me and that we can figure out what you mean when you talk about eating your flesh and drinking your blood. In Jesus' name I pray. So if we could grab some Bibles, I'm going to need some volunteers to read. John 6, and I need, let's see how many, I need like six volunteers, if we could. So read two verses each, and we're starting in verses 52 in just a second. Let me know when you guys get there.
Can you say those verses again?
Yeah, we're in John chapter 6, starting in verse 52. Just pause for 1 second, though. So by the time we're getting here, the Jews are confused by what Jesus is saying, and they're getting angry. And instead of backtracking, Jesus seems to be more confusing and more offensive. And so let's read what he says. Can I get the first volunteer? Just read two verses, starting in verse 52. Anyone?
The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you."
Can I get somebody to read the next two?
Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up from the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink.
Somebody read 56 and 57. Thank you.
Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me.
And then the last two verses.
"This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum.
Okay. So, by a show of hands, or you don't have to raise your hand, if anyone else is confused, go ahead and raise your hand. It's a little confusing. I know I had to read this passage just more than once to make sure I was reading it correctly. Does Jesus really mean we need to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood to be saved, like we saw in that video? Well, if you're as confused as I was, don't feel bad. Even Jesus' disciples were confused and offended by what Jesus was saying. And so I need somebody to read verses 60, or just verse 60. You can. Andres?
When many of the disciples heard it, they said, This is hard saying. Who can listen to it?
And then I need somebody to read verses 61 through 63. Okay.
Jesus, knowing himself and his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Did you take offense to this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life."
Okay, so in other words, Jesus is explaining to his disciples that what he said wasn't meant to be taken literally at all. He compared his flesh and blood to manna to help explain a spiritual truth. So what's that spiritual truth? Well, since Jesus brought up manna and he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, let's talk about food for a minute and see if we can find a spiritual truth there. And so I need somebody to write down some answers because my handwriting is really bad. So thank you, Isaac. And so I'm just going to... Why do we eat and drink things? Just shout things out. Thank you, George, for making that face. What was that?
Because we're thirsty.
Because we're thirsty, okay?
Energy.
For energy, good.
Because
it tastes good? Yep. Yeah.
Makes us feel good?
Yep.
Satisfies?
He knows where I'm going with this.
Comfort,
yep. Couple more. Fellowship? Sure. And then, if anyone wants to show anything else, I was going to say survival would be one. You need it? Okay, here's the thing, though. Okay, if you went a week without eating, or for somebody like me, if you go like an hour without eating, and then somebody hands you a sandwich, would you just look at the sandwich and hold it in your hand and be like, okay, all done, I'm full now? No, you'd be like, Jeremy for sure wouldn't do that.
No.
No, you would eat it. That's the only way it helps you. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so aside from food and drink, what other kinds of things do we thirst for in this world? Hunger and thirst for. In this world is the key word there. Don't say Jesus yet.
Do you want to write these down?
Yes, please.
Understanding?
Somebody said something else.
Everything that satisfies the body.
Everything, okay. Did you say everything?
What was the next one? Understanding and everything?
Don't write everything down. That doesn't help. Friends, thank you, Rulana. Money? Does anyone else like money?
Yes.
Everybody likes money. Dating and relationships? Anything else?
Comfort,
yep. I had getting good grades up there. Drugs/alcohol. Not for me, but I can imagine that some people would want to get good grades. And then also I had sex there because...
Yeah, definitely.
The S. Definitely, okay. Wow. So, here's the thing. That was Ricky. Here's the thing. As far as sex and alcohol and drugs and money and all these things.
Cigarettes.
Okay, that's good. As far as those go, a lot of people think that those are bad things, but they're not. A lot of people think that wanting those things is a sin. But ultimately, God created these things to lead us closer to Him. And He created them for our enjoyment. So they become bad when we expect them to do what they can't do. They can't satisfy us. And how often have we done that? How often have we taken one of these things, like alcohol or relationships, thought that was the answer, only to be disappointed? And so I can think of many times I've done this. Let me give you one example. So when I was in college, I thought the party life was the answer. And so you guys could probably guess that. I thought I would go to parties, I would get drunk, I would tell jokes, people would laugh, I would hook up with girls, I would feel good about myself. And so what I initially thought was a desire to have a good time, when I thought about the underlying desire, it was for value. It was for self-worth. And so I was putting my self-worth in how many people laughed at my jokes at a party or how many girls I hooked up with. But what about the times nobody laughed? Which that still happens all the time. What about the times when a girl turned me down? That's actually never happened. But I've heard it sucks. So, okay. After college, Jesus gave me self-worth, but He didn't give me it in more of those things. He didn't give me more self-worth by giving me more girls to hook up with, or more jokes to tell, or people to laugh. No, He gave it in a purpose, in a path. And each step along the way of that path, He showed me that He was there. And so just like manna was just a glimpse of a bigger desire that Jesus offers, He offers things in this world. All of these things are just glimpses of bigger desires that only Jesus can satisfy. So if you need approval from others, how about feeling good about yourself based on how many girls you hook up with, or how many guys ask you out, or how good your grades are? Jesus offers to fill that void, not with more of the same thing, but with a purpose, with an identity, which makes any desire, any of those, just a cheap substitute. And so, hold on 1 second. So I have this doll here. Thanks, Christine. So this doll...
Call me Christine.
No, Christine let me borrow her doll, so... Yes, I called you Christine. So this doll here, it's pretty ugly. It's pretty stupid. So she is crawling around, and she picks up things like a razor, and she tries to put them in her mouth and eat them, and she doesn't learn her lesson. She thinks they'll satisfy her, but they don't. But she's a really stupid baby, and she continues to do this. She has no hope for a future. Anyway, she continues to do this. There's like hair clips. But the thing is, her mom knows what she really needs, and only her mom has what will fully satisfy her. Okay, stop laughing, Jeremy. So this illustration was kind of weird, okay? But just remember that you're the baby, and God is the mom, and then I'll let you guys just fill in the rest. Okay, so let's continue. So Jesus compares Himself to food and drink to show that He satisfies and sustains us. He's the one who gives us energy, and we need Him to spiritually survive. Okay, here's what's the thing about food and drink, though? Where do they fail? Shout some answers out. Yes. Andre? What's that?
Make me fat.
Doesn't always taste good.
Doesn't always taste good. Yeah. And so, Jesus does what food and drink can't do. Because He is lasting. There's no such thing as too much. You're not going to get fat off of Him. Well, you might spiritually, but that's a good thing. And He offers more than we could ever want or need. Okay. So let's continue on to the end of this passage. And I can just read. Thanks for the volunteers who read. So we're in John 6, and I'm going to read 64 through 71. Okay. Jesus is talking here. He says, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray Him. And He said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to Me unless it is granted him by the Father. So in other words, Jesus knew that a lot of the people didn't believe what he was saying, and so he's telling them the only way the Father grants permission is by believing what he says. So let's continue. We're in 66 now. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you're the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. All right, it's really important that we just make a note of what Peter said, because I think it's really significant. Because Peter was just as confused as anyone else was. He was just as confused when Jesus talked about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, and he was just as offended when Jesus told him the only way to come to him was if the Father granted permission. But in spite of that, here's what he says to Jesus in a nutshell. He says, "I don't understand everything that you say. In fact, a lot of the things that you say can be super confusing and oftentimes offensive. But here's what I know. I've been around you for a while, and the time I've spent with you has shown me that you're the Holy One of God, and so that's what I'm going to cling to when nothing else you say makes sense." All right, so this is a pretty short sermon, so I have three main points to wrap this up. And then we're going to go to communion, because it's hard to not do communion after you talk about eating Jesus' flesh. Anyways, so three points. First point, manna and anything else in this world that we hunger and thirst for were things that were given by God, but they were never meant to satisfy us. Only Jesus can do that. Point number two, just like food, water, and anything else, the only way Jesus can help us is if we eat him, or a better way to put it would be if we take him into our life. We do this by believing his claims, by believing that what he said, believing that what he offers is better than anything else this world offers. Final point, remember that whenever you run into doubts about God, which you will, the disciples did, Peter did, whenever you're confused by something the Bible teaches, remember that while everything Jesus says may not always make sense to you, following him still makes more sense than anything else. And as Peter put it, to whom shall we go? So, we're going to have communion now. And so just, when you guys take communion, just remember, you're not actually eating his flesh. Maybe you didn't think you were. But just reflect on what Jesus has given you, and how he can fully satisfy you, unlike anything else.